behind this box this evening and bring the word. I'm going to go straight into the word here in just a minute, but before I do, I feel like I need to tell you a little bit about myself. So, my name is Seth, and I'm just an old boy from Texarkana, Texas, at the age of 20. I'm 20 years old, so I'm just trying to do what the Lord's called me to do and do His perfect will. And on the meantime, I still do whatever my daddy tells me to do. So, amen. So now that you know me, hopefully after the service this evening, I can meet with some of you, and there's some familiar faces, and there's not some not so familiar faces. Maybe I can meet you guys. I know that we're going to have a good time in the Lord this evening. If you will, stand with me for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to be reading, taking my text out tonight, out of the book of Job, chapter 34. Book of Job 34. And like I said, it's such a privilege and an honor to be able to be with you guys tonight. I want to say thank you again to the Sanders and your pastors for entrusting me behind this sacred desk. I do not take it lightly to stand behind this podium. It comes with a lot of prayer and a lot of fasting and trying to hear and hearing the word of God and what He has for the church this evening. So if you're there in Job chapter 34, starting in verse 29, say amen. Amen. I'll take that as a covenant to start. 29 says, "When He giveth quietness, who then can make trouble? And when He hideth His face, who then can behold Him? Whether it be done against a nation or against a man only. When He giveth quietness, who then can make trouble?" If you will, turn with me to Psalms chapter 50 for two verses of Scripture. Psalms chapter 50, starting in verse 14. And verse 14 reads, "Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." For just a few moments, I want to preach to you this simple thought. I want my coat. If you will, bow your heads with me and raise one hand towards heaven and one towards this preacher and pray that God will move in this service tonight. Come on, church, pray with me. God, I pray that the anointing, Lord, it breaks the yoke. God, I pray that you move tonight. God, I pray that you open up the windows of heaven, God. God, let your glory fall in this house tonight. God, I pray that your presence flows, God. I pray that we see souls saved, God, and filled with the Holy Ghost. God, I pray, Lord, shower into this house tonight. God, completely get rid of Seth McDonald. God, stand behind this podium tonight, God, and bring your word that you have prepared, God, I pray. Lord, we pray all these things in your mighty and wonderful and gracious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated if you're able. I want to make a covenant with you this evening. I want you to make a covenant with me. I'm going to preach to you everything that God's given me. I'll preach to you everything that I have. But your covenant on the other side is that you'll move in these altars and get what God has prepared for you this evening. Can we make that covenant tonight? Amen. I want to look at the story of Joseph. Most of us, our entire life growing up, have heard and learned about the story of Joseph. It's a very popular portion of Scripture. But I'm not going to skip over all the facts and the details of the story of Joseph, because nowadays, many don't even know the stories that you and I grew up in Sunday school learning. Nowadays, there's a lot of folks in this world that go to church and sit on the pew but don't know the simple stories of maybe Daniel in the lion's den or Noah in the ark. So tonight, I want to bring to you the story of Joseph, and I want to tell you about the lives and the things that he had to deal with throughout his lifetime. My first point tonight is separation. From the beginning of Joseph's life, he was separated. He was counted favorable under Jacob, which is his father. He was the favorite child between all the brothers, even so much that Israel, which was Jacob before God changed his name, fashioned together a coat of many colors and gave it to Jacob. See, Jacob, he was the favorite child from the beginning. His brothers despised him. We can look at the story of Jacob, and he was the promised child. He was the youngest. He was most loved. And he was so much loved by his father, he created him a coat of many colors. Now, there's a lot of folks. There's a lot of young kids. Is there anybody that's maybe be the youngest in the house tonight? If you're ever, just raise your hand up right quick. There's one in the back. Is there any more? Well, I'll tell you what. I am the youngest of three. I have two older sisters, and I know for a fact that I am the favorite child. Amen. So I can kind of see, I can kind of relate with Joseph and know what's going on. He has older brothers, and those brothers, they're always trying to tear him down because they know that Joseph is the favorite of the family. And we see this in Joseph's life. He began to be separated from his brothers. So from the beginning of his life, he was found himself separated from everything that he knew, everything that he grew up in, everything that he had at his hands, at his apparel. He began to be separated from it. And we see this in the story of Joseph. We see things begin to split apart because there is no love in Joseph's life. There's no peace, no solid foundation between the two halves that Joseph lived in. But when God is put between the two, there is a structure that starts to form. Peace is found. Love is found. Grace is adopted. When God is in the midst, there's a solid rock foundation that we can stand on. When God is in the midst of our life, we can know that we can stand on the rock. We know that we can stand on His love, and God will always love us. Wherever we are in our life, God will always be with us to the end of time. When God is in the midst, there's a solid rock foundation to stand on. The broken relationships are fixed. The wounded hearts are mended. The lost souls are found. He's the creator of all things, the ruler of all things. He can fix what you've got yourself into, but you got to let God get in. You got to let God do something for you in your life. You can't sit back and watch what's going on. You can't sit back and see that revival is happening and not take part in it. If you want God to move in your life, if you want God to touch you in your life, you got to get in and see God for everything. You got to see your potential in God, and you got to reach out to Him and say, God, whatever it is you have for me, I'm willing to accept it. Man, Joseph, he was hated by his brothers. They couldn't stand him. When you're being brought up by God, when God is lifting you up and you're doing something great for God, be sure that you're going to run into trouble. Be sure that the world is going to try to tear you down. Be sure when you're going to school and those people that you know as friends, but when they see that God's doing something for you, when they see that God is working in your life, be sure that they're going to try to gap you up, going to try to tear you down, because it is the plan of the devil, as you are young in your youth, to take you right now. The devil is here to kill, steal, and destroy, and that's exactly what it's going to do to you. But you can't fall into the snares. You can't fall into the traps. You have to stand firm in God. You got to lean in God. You got to stay strong on that foundation, and God will take you to see the miraculous. And God's will, we need to understand, it is not me, 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 but always it is Him, Him, Him. Every portion of my life is fully dedicated unto God. Wherever I walk, whenever I talk, wherever I go, I have to be the example of how Christ would live. See, God has a purpose for your life. And that starts tonight. God sent you here for a purpose. It isn't just to be with your friends. It isn't just to come with your youth group and have a good time. But God has a plan. And God is going to restore your life. God's going to build you up. God's going to use you for the utterance of His glory to build His kingdom. And tonight, that can start tonight. The Bible says, "In that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. This is the heritage of the church. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you say, it must glorify Christ and Him crucified. It must glorify the Father in heaven." God's will is to use you. God's will is to use each and every single one of you tonight, no matter what age you are, but you have to let Him. See, Joseph was a dreamer. His first dream, when Joseph was about 17 years old, he had an inspired dream that he was gathering grain in the fields with his brothers. But Joseph's bundle of grain stood tall, but his brothers' bundles of grain bowed down to Joseph. This brought conflict among Joseph's brothers. This made them jealous. They couldn't stand the fact that Joseph told them that I have a higher calling. They couldn't stand the fact that Joseph told them, I have a greater purpose than to be here in these fields for the rest of my life. They began to be jealous of Joseph. They saw that he had potential on his life. They saw that Joseph had potential to do something great, and they begin to start tearing him down. It's just like the world. When you see yourself and God begin to use you, and you understand God is going to use me to do great and mighty things, when you start to understand that wasn't an accident that God told me to tell my friend that. It wasn't an accident that I was supposed to pray with him. When you start seeing that God is anointing you for the place that you're in your life right now, I'm going to bear witness that the devil is going to try his best to tear you down any chance he gets. This is what happened in Joseph's life. Sometimes when you start to tell people that you have a certain calling on your life, that they'll start persecuting you. They'll tell you that you're wrong and you really have no true meaning. You'll never be something great. See, there's so many people in this world, and it breaks my heart. There's so many young youth in this world. There's people that's my age in this world, and they're called by God, and they know it, but they won't step out in the calling. They won't step out in the faith because they're afraid of what the world might say. They're afraid of what their friends might say. They're afraid of what people at their school might say. I'm telling you, step out, grab on to God, and he'll use you to do the great and mighty things in your life. You can't be afraid of the calling that God's put on your life. With promotion comes persecution. When God promotes you, people will then begin to persecute you. When God starts to use you for the growth of his kingdom, that's when people begin to take notice and jealousy begins to arise. Because God hasn't chosen them to do things in his life that God's chosen you to do in your life. God has anointing us all. That may not be to stand behind this box. That may not be to play these instruments. But God has a calling, young folk, on your life. God has a calling, old folk, on your life. And that calling is not to lay aside. That calling is not to stand behind. But that calling is to step out in faith and say that God is my creator. And I'll stand with him because he's going to stand with me for the rest of time. See, people, they'll forgive you for a lot of things. They'll forgive you for your failure, for your mistakes, for your sins. But there's one thing people will never forgive you for, and that's your success. When you begin to grow in your anointing, that's when people that you knew as friends just become people you know. Hear me, that's when people you knew as friends, when you start to do great things in the Word, when you start to do great things for the name of Jesus, that's when people you knew your entire life as friends just become people you know. Life as you know it is starting to change. See yourself in Joseph's shoes, knowing you're called of God to do great things. You're empowered by God to do the miraculous, but your peers are not. I'm going to tell you the truth in my own life. I just started this ministry preaching not long ago. Not very long ago did I start preaching. But there's been people in my life. There's been friends that I called my best friends that I've known for years try to tear me down for doing what I'm doing. I tell you the truth, there's things in my past that I'm ashamed of. There's things in my past that I've done that I'm not happy about. But I got them under the blood. I repented over them. I said, God, forgive me. But there's still people, there's still friends that's trying to tear me down. They try to get me at my brinks and say, oh boy, you knew what you did 3 years ago. Oh boy, you knew what you did 4 years ago. Oh boy, you knew what you said. See, the devil is going to try to tear you down for doing the will of God. You're just starting this ministry. You're just starting what God's given you. But you can't give up. You can't give in. You got to grab hold of God. You got to know, say, devil, whatever you're trying to do, I'm going to stand firm on his word and know that God will be with me for the rest of my days, and I will do miraculous things for the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter where you go, God will be there. Doesn't matter where you've been, God will be there. Doesn't matter what you do, God will be there. Doesn't matter what you say, God will guide you through every step of life that you take, all the way till your meek's end. If you only trust in God. Preacher, that's it. I've been in church and I feel like God's beginning to use me. I feel the anointing. God's starting to anoint me to do certain things in my life. But the world starts tearing me down. and they start chewing me up, and they start to mock me for what God's doing in my life. This is when the devil gets in your face and uses people to mock your ministry. The devil says, that's not what you're called to do. That's not what you're supposed to be doing. You're not supposed to pastor that church. You're not supposed to talk to that friend, that family member that's been so wrong for so many years. You know what you've done in your past. You know the sins that you've committed. Who are you to get up and preach Jesus when you're a nobody yourself? But he said it at the beginning of service. The rocks will cry out in my place. And I'm telling you, church, I will not lay vacant. I will not stand back and let a rock cry out in my place. But I will cry out to the name of Jesus. Whatever it takes, whatever I got to do, whatever I got to lay down, whatever relationships I got to put behind me, I will do it. If I can only hold on to the name of Jesus, if I can only utter the name of Jesus, if I can only hold on to God and let him do a work in my life, I will do it. And whatever the world has to offer me, I'll lay it behind me and never look back. You start telling the world what you've been called to do and see what they have to say. But it's not up to the world. It's up to the one who knew you before you were ever in your mother's womb. The one who placed their calling on your life before air ever entered into your lungs. Jesus, he's the knower of all things. He's the ruler of all things. Trust in him and he will guide you through every step of your life. Amen. When people do not accept your calling, when they don't accept your anointing, your destiny, they begin to make fun of it because they know they'll never reach the level that you're at right now. People will start to try to tear you down because they understand they'll never, ever be able to reach the level of what God's doing in your life. But I'm here today standing behind this box with my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, wearing my breastplate of righteousness with my sword of the Spirit. I don't care how many fiery darts of the wicked are shot my way. I'm going to stand firm on the solid rock foundation. I won't give up. I won't give in. I won't give out, but I will always stand on the foundation God's given me, and that is the Word of God. That Word is truth. This word will never lay vacant, but it's true until the end. We must get our faith in this word and understand what God has for us. You say, preacher, there's so many things in my life I never could understand. I never could find the answer to. I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed, but I can never find the answer. I'm telling you, church, your answer is written in that book. Your answer, everything that you need, is written in that book. His word is yea and amen. I'm telling you tonight, if you got a problem, if you have a situation that you can't find the answer to, get your face in that book and see what God has to tell you. Because his word is truth and will never let you lay vacant. When people don't accept what God is doing in your life, this pushes one to the place where they can be accepted. And that place is where acceptance is only found is in the presence of God. One place where my dreams, where my visions, where my promises all becomes reality. The promise that you thought was dead in your life, the promise that you thought had no life in your life, that thing that you've been bearing on your back for so many years, that thing you dealt with all of 2022, that thing you dealt with for the past decade, I'm preaching to somebody in the house tonight, that thing that you've been bearing with you, that you thought this promise is dead. I'll never see this family member saved. I'll never get this relationship right. I'm going to struggle my entire life. But if God gave you a promise, don't give up on that promise. But lean on God, because he'll bring you out. His word is yea and amen, and his promises are always true. What did they do? What did his brothers do to Joseph? They turned on him. When people can no longer control you, they try to change the narrative about you. However, no amount of bad speaking from men will change the destiny that God has given you. I looked up that word narrative. I wanted to know what that meant. It simply means this: to change the story. When you stop doing what everyone else wants you to do and only focus on what God wants you to do, that's when they start trying to change your story. That's when the world is going to start trying to change your story. That's when your friends start telling lies on you. That's when people you know start to tear you down. See, they see, I'm preaching to you tonight, they're seeing that God is working in your life. They're seeing that God is anointing you to do great things. But the world can't stand it. The devil can't stand it. So he's going to try to change your story. That's what they did to Joseph. See, Joseph's brother tried to change the narrative. They couldn't control Joseph, so they decided to get rid of him and change his story. What they do, they took his coat. They took this coat of many colors that his father gave him. And on this coat, each one of these colors represented a promise. How do you know that, preacher? Well, we can look at the rainbow, and it's a bow of many colors. It's a bow of promise. Each color on this coat of Joseph represented a promise of his life, represented a certain destiny of his life, represented a certain calling that Joseph had on his life. See, God from the beginning had so many great and mighty things, marvelous things that he wanted Joseph to accomplish. There's somebody in this house that God's promised you that you're going to do great and marvelous things. That God's promised you, you're going to do something great. And he's given you a coat of many colors. He's given you, this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to accomplish in my name. But there's people around you that try to take you and take this coat away from you. That's what they did to Joseph. They took him. And they took that coat of many colors that represented so many promises from God. And they threw him in a pit and left him to die. They took his coat, which represented a type of favor of God, and dipped the promise in blood, and then later brought it back to their father and said this: this is all we could find, a remnant dipped in blood of what he was promised to be. A remnant sealed by the covenant of the promises that was given to him. That's when God makes you a promise. The promise that promise that God makes you won't ever die. It doesn't matter where you are in your life. It doesn't matter if you've been stripped from everything that you know. It doesn't matter if you've been stripped from every person that you know. If God makes you a promise, he's going to keep that promise. Listen to this story. His brothers, the world, tried to take everything from him. Everything that ever meant anything to Joseph. They took the most valuable possession that he had, which they thought he had, which is every promise God ever given him. But what they didn't know they were doing when they were dipping it in that blood was making a covenant with God. They dipped that promise. They dipped those things that God promised him and dipped it in the blood and created a covenant, an unbreakable blood-bought covenant between God and man. When Christ died on that cross, he became the mediator between you and God. He became the unbreakable blood-bought covenant between God and man. They dipped his destiny in blood, in the blood covenant which sealed his favor with God forever. Joseph's destiny was not destroyed in that blood like his brothers thought. His brothers thought if they were to dip that coat in that blood and show it to their father, his life is gone forever. Every promise ever given to him was ruined. But Joseph's destiny was not destroyed by that dipping of that blood. It was sealed by the blood. You ask me, what does the blood do for me? Woo! The blood heals. The blood justifies. The blood forgives. The blood brings life. The blood delivers. The blood sets free. The blood anoints. The blood protects. The blood brings victory. Hey, somebody. Somebody needs to get a hold of the blood tonight. Somebody needs to touch Jesus tonight. Somebody needs to take your coat and dip it in the covenant, because the blood will take it all away and keep your promise with God forever. The blood will never, ever lose its power. They thought they took that coat off him and dipped it in death, but they really dipped it in what brings eternal life, the blood. Woo! That stirs in my spirit when I begin to think of the blood. Hey, that starts to stir in my spirit when I begin to think of what Christ did for me 2,000 years ago when he drug that tree up Calvary, when he drug that tree and took the stripes for mine and your sins. If it wasn't for the blood, where would we be today? If it wasn't for the blood, where would we be at in our own life? But I'm telling you tonight, by the blood we are saved. By the blood we can find redemption. By the blood we can be healed. By the blood our best mistakes are forgiven. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. His destiny started with the blood on that coat. And our destiny starts under the covering of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. What is our destiny, preacher? Our destiny is to see the righteous forgiven, to see miraculous healings in our own church, to see miraculous healing in our own churches, to see deliverance in our own churches, to see the anointing fall in our own churches, to walk the streets of gold, to sit beside the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to see the face of God. That is our destiny. Joseph's destiny was still intact, sealed by the blood. But they threw him in that pit. And they were going to leave him to die. But there was a brother who said, we can't do that. Something's wrong here. Because he's our own blood. The blood saved Joseph's life in more ways than one. So what'd they do? They sold him. They sold him for 20 pieces of shekels to the Ishmaelites. And they told their father that Joseph had died. And all they found was a remnant of God's favor. See, everything in your life might go away. Everybody, everything that you know might leave you, might forget about you, but there's one thing that never changes, and that's the favor, the mercy, and God's promise on your life. There's one thing that will never break a hold of your life. There's one thing that will never change, and that's the promise that God has put on your life. Woo! Somebody's hearing me tonight. Somebody's hearing me tonight. There's one thing that's never going to change. You might lose everything. Everybody in your life might walk away. You might be all by yourself, thrown down in a pit. But what I can tell you tonight, what I know is true tonight, that promise that God gave you in the beginning will never change. That promise that God told you he was going to do will never fail, because God's promises are always true. First thing that happened when he got to Potiphar's house, they gave him a new coat. So that promise that Joseph was given was stripped away, and he was thrown in a pit. But his next place that God appointed him to, God gave him a new coat. Now, it wasn't as pretty as that coat in the beginning. It didn't have all those pretty colors and all those promises, but it was a coat. So God gave him a new anointing for the place that he's in right now. The coat represented Joseph's integrity. It wasn't as beautiful as the first coat. It wasn't filled with many colors, but the promise of God was still flowing in him wherever he was. But whenever you're in the favor of God, trouble will find you wherever you are. Because whenever you're doing something for God, the devil is trying to keep you away from your destiny. He will find you and he'll fill your life with trouble. He'll fill your life with things that void you from doing the will of God. The devil will try to distract you. If the devil can't kill you physically, he'll install things in your life that will distract you from the will of God. The devil's going to try to take you away. Even at a young age, you might say, preacher, I'm 14, I'm 13, 15, 16. I don't know what real trouble's like. I'm telling you right now, it doesn't matter what age you are. I know the devil that's trying to beat me up. I know the devil that's trying to beat you up. And I know he's going to try to kill you at this age. I know he's going to try to take you down. But if you hold, fight, and you'll fight in the faith, you know you can stand any place you're at. And God will be with you. Trouble is going to find you wherever you are when you're in the favor of God. But all the trouble in the world can't redirect your destiny. If the devil can't make you turn on the will of God, he'll make you too busy for the will of God. He'll start filling your life with stuff that disconnects you from the Father. But every time the devil took his coat away, every stop he made, God had him a new coat prepared. Woo! God had him a new anointing prepared. Every time the devil tried to kill him, every time the devil tried to take everything away, God had a new promise for him. Somebody's looking for their new promise tonight. Somebody's trying to find their new promise. You might be in a pit. You might travel on a road not knowing where you're needing to go, but you're going to end up in a place. If you're in the will of God, he's going to anoint you with a new coat. Every time the devil tried to take Joseph's promise away, God provided a new anointing. Every time the devil has tried to gap you up, tear you down, God's promise of anointing has flowed deep into your life, and his calling is without repentance. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not into thine own understanding. In all thine ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. God will always bring you through your toughest trial, but you have to trust in him in every aspect of your life. It doesn't matter if you were thrown in a pit. It doesn't matter if everyone has betrayed you. It doesn't matter if you've been stripped from everything that you've ever knew. Trust in God in every aspect of your life. Put your trust in God, and he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you, but he will stay with you till the end. He was at Potiphar's house, and after so long, Potiphar saw the favor of God on Joseph's life. And Potiphar made Joseph the overseer of his house. And in doing this, God blessed the Egyptian house for Joseph's sake. Wherever you are, if you're in the will of God, God will bless you wherever you are. When you're doing the will of God, even though your life may be full of trouble, God will show his blessings upon you. You will never, ever be able to outgive the Father. See, that Potiphar said, hey boy, I see that you're a man of God. I see you praying to God. I see you're blessed in your life. I want to make you the second man of my house. And that's what happened. Potiphar made Joseph the second in command behind him. Joseph became the chief officer of the house behind Potiphar. But this brought a lot of attention to Joseph. Things begin to happen in his life that never happened before. But the devil still tried to kill him. You see that God has anointed Joseph. God has brought him up, and he's doing great things for that house. And the devil begins to sneak in any way he can get in. The devil begins to try to tear you down any way he can get in. Potiphar's wife began eyeing Jacob. See, the devil knows how to trap you up and try to get you to stumble in your walk of faith. She tried to get him to sell out everything. She tried to get him to sell his destiny for fleshly pleasure. However, he left his coat and kept his integrity. See, the devil tried to entrap him. The devil tried to break him up and say, I see that you're doing great things. I see that you're doing mighty things, but this is what I'm going to do. And the devil tried to tear him down. But Joseph left his coat but kept his integrity. Just when the devil thinks he's taking the favor of God away from you, that's when God anoints you for the place you're in. Just when the devil thought he beat the Savior, when Jesus got on that cross, he got up in 3 days. In 3 days, he restored humanity. In 3 days, he saved every soul that will ever live if they call on the name of Jesus. And he said, through the blood I shed on that cross, you may find redemption. You may find salvation, and through the blood I shed on that cross, you'll be able to sit with me on the right side in the house, in the room of heaven forever. But after that incident with Potiphar's wife, Joseph was in a new predicament. He had a new battle to face. See, I'm sure Joseph was at that point when he got thrown in that pit. He said, it can't get any worse than the place I'm in right now. Joseph was at that point, it can't get any worse than what's happening to me right now. My family has forsaken me. Everything I've known is gone. I've been stripped from everything. The promise that I had from the Father in the beginning is gone. I have no place to go. I have nowhere to turn to. Nothing can get worse. But it got worse. See, then God started to use him in the place he was in, but the devil began to try to trap him up. And Joseph was thrown into prison for something he didn't even do. Something he didn't even do, he was thrown into prison for. They threw him in jail. They could have had him killed. The promise and providence of God said otherwise. The destiny of God for Joseph could not be redirected. No amount of trouble, no amount of lies or mockery can change God's plan for the man that will walk in truth and power. But while in prison, he became blessed. He was once again placed in a type or form of leadership while sitting in a jail cell. While in his darkest place, he was still a leader. While in his darkest place, he was still anointed. See, when he got in that jail cell, everything again was taken from him. He was at one of the top commands. He was a chief in the house. He could snap and have anything he wanted. See, he was doing great and mighty things. But once again in his life, everything was taken away from him. Once again in his life, he was thrown into a dark, dark place. There's some of us in the house tonight that is in a dark, dark place. That has nowhere to go, nowhere to turn to. And you said, God, I used to do so many mighty things and great things for you. I used to do so many, you used to anoint me to do all these great things. Why am I in this dark place by myself? Sometimes God has to separate you so you will trust in him in every aspect of your life. But see, when he got to that jail, when he got into that prison, they gave him something. They gave him a new coat. And then that coat, it was ugly and gray and dark and dim. It didn't have a lot of meaning to the flesh. It didn't look good. It didn't look pretty. It was just something to keep them a little warm at night. But in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual aspect, that coat had a lot of meaning. That coat represented a new anointing. See, Joseph was in the darkest place of his life. Joseph had nowhere to go. Joseph had no person to talk to. Joseph, can I come down here, preacher? Is that okay? Joseph had nowhere to go. He was in the darkest place of his life. He was locked up in a cold jail cell. Nobody to turn to. And he might have been thinking, I used to do all these great things, these mighty things, but now I'm sitting here left to rot like I once before. But they gave him a coat. They gave him some insight that God will use you wherever place you're in. I'm telling you, church, it doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter what place you're in. It doesn't matter what place you're at. God will use you in your darkest moments, in your darkest life. God will begin to use you to do great things for his will. But you got to let him. Joseph was in the darkest place he was ever in his life. But he was still anointed by God. Some of us are in our darkest place that we've ever been. Hanging on the coattail of our past anointing or the anointing before us. We're hanging on the things that used to happen in the church. The things we've heard about. We're hanging on those things by thread. But we must get in and we must experience the real for ourselves. How will we ever bring revival if we don't experience it for ourselves? How will we ever bring revival to our family if we don't experience it for ourselves? How will we ever bring revival for our friends if we don't experience it ourselves? We must experience the real. They threw him in jail. But he had that coat. The anointing on your life will always raise you to the top, no matter where you are. The word says he will make you the head and not the tail. Doesn't matter how deep the valley, he will always bring you to the top of the mountain. Joseph, while in prison for some time, a total of 13 years, before entering or going to the palace of Egypt, a cupbearer and a baker were thrown in prison. While there, they both had dreams. See, God knew exactly what he was doing when he threw those two old boys in the cell right beside the dreamer. Joseph was a dreamer. We heard it at the beginning of the story. And here come two old boys that had dreams. The baker dreamed on my head were three baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods prepared, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head. And the cupbearer, his dream said, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches. And it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth. And the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. And I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup. And I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. Joseph was in the worst period of his life. Joseph was at the lowest point of his life. Lowest part of the prison. Forgotten by everything. And now two servants had a dream and wanted him to interpret it. What was Joseph going to do? Was he going to lay lax on his anointing? Is he going to do what God called him to do? Are we going to lay lax on what God's told us to do? Are we going to sit in that dark place and do nothing for the kingdom of God? Are we going to sit in that dark place and let that coat sit aside? Or are we going to let God use us to do great things? I know we might be in a dark place, the darkest place we've ever been. We might not feel like we've touched God in a long time, but I'm telling you, God will begin to use you. God will begin to use you to do great and mighty things even in your darkest hours. What's he going to do? Is he going to lay lax? Or is he going to use the anointing that God gave him? When you're at your lowest point and someone needs you to do what God's intended for you to do, what are you going to do? Are you going to lay lax in the anointing that God has prepared for you? Or are you going to do, God, whatever I need to do, whatever you want me to do, God, I am a willing vessel and I am here to receive whatever you have for me. If you can't stay faithful to God in your darkest, hardest moments, when you feel like you have been stripped from everything, you'll never see the promises at hand that God has in store for your life. If you can't stay faithful to God when you're at this point, at the darkest place of your life, you will never see the promises God has in store. I'm preaching it real tonight. There's somebody in this house that's in your darkest moment, in your darkest place, and God sent me here tonight to tell you, hold on to God. Don't give up on God, because he has a promise and a plan for you that's greater than you could ever imagine. He has the anointing set apart for you that's greater than you could ever think of. God has a plan and a purpose and a destiny for you. Don't give up when you're in your darkest moments. Joseph, he interpreted the dreams. I'm trying to hurry. The baker died 3 days later, and the cupbearer was back in the palace 3 days later. Be faithful where God has you right now, because in a short while, your justification, woo, is coming. In just a little while, if you stay faithful to God, you're getting out of that place. In just a little while, if you stay faithful to God, you're getting out of that prison. After Joseph fulfilled his calling in the lowest part of his life, after God used him in the lowest part of his life, it seemed that no one cared. He was still forgotten. Still all by himself. He told the cupbearer to remind the king that he was still in prison. But God used him. But he was still sitting in a dark place. Some of us tonight are in that dark place, and you feel like you've been used by God. But you ask God, why am I still in this dark place? Why am I still fighting these things I've been fighting for so long? I've been sitting in this cold place, in this cold jail cell all by myself. Nobody knows what's going on in my life. Nobody knows the problems that I'm facing. I put on a facade when I come to church on a Sunday morning. I greet people with a smile. I say, everything's okay. Everything's going on. Everything's fine. But on the inside, we're broken up, and we have nobody to turn to. We can't turn to our friends because they'll try to make fun of us behind our back. We don't understand what's going on. We don't understand why we're being beat and tore up so many times in this dark cell. But I'm telling you, have your faith in God Almighty. Lean on God, and he'll never forget you. He'll always stay with you, whatever place you're in your life. You may be in the lowest part of your life, but be faithful. That word justification, what's it mean? It is just as if I never sinned. Christ died on that cross for yours and my sin. He will save you, church, wherever you are in your life. He will justify you. Joseph was justified. After 2 years, the Lord was ready to bring Joseph into the place of the place of his destiny, and he made it look like there was no one else that was able or capable to do the job that Joseph needed to do. See, the Pharaoh, he had a dream. He had something going on. The king, he had a dream. He had something going on, and no one could interpret it. The king, he asked everyone, the soothsayers, the astrologers, the magicians, to interpret the dream, but no one could. There was only one man fit for the job. There was only one man that had the anointing for the job. There was only one man that could interpret that dream. And he was still wearing that old raggedy coat that was given to him. He was still wearing that old anointing that was given to him. He was still wearing that old promise that was given to him. He was still sitting in that old cold jail cell being tormented every day of his life. He was still sitting in the dark. But I'm telling you, when God says he'll do it, he's gonna do it. I'm telling you, when God says he'll use you to do great and mighty things, he's going to use you to do great and mighty things. You got to lean on God. You got to give it all to God, because he'll bring you out of that jail cell. He'll bring you out of that prison, and he'll get you to the palace, and he'll let you use that anointing, that promise that he promised you in the beginning. The king asked everyone, but there was only one man fit for the job. But when it was time for God to bring him out into his destiny, he was given a new coat. He was given another level of anointing. He was given a higher calling. See, the cupbearer reminded the king that he had a friend in prison that interpreted his dream. He told the king that there's only one man fit for this job, and his name is Joseph. There's only one person anointed for the destiny God has placed on your life, and it's you. You can't run off the coattail of your parents' anointing, but God has breathed the breath of life in you. He has created you and anointed you for the place that you're in. God has anointed you for the place that you're at right now. God has said, this is what you're called to do. It may look dark. It may look dim. It may be cold where you are, but I'm telling you tonight, folks, God is going to use you to do the miraculous. He's created you for a specific purpose and destiny. No amount of trouble, disappointment, and setbacks can deter you from walking into the presence and the power place that God has created you. The king said, go get him, and I'm hurrying. He said, clean him up and bring that boy to me out of prison. And he said, and by the way, put a coat on him that's fit for the palace. They brought him before the king. The king told him the dream, and Joseph interpreted it. And the king said, there's nobody better to help me guide this nation through this famine than the man that God gave the revelation to. I'm telling you, you may be in the place that you think nobody is around. You may be in a dark, dark place. You may be in a pit left to rot. You may be in a prison cell on the inside, left to rot, and nobody knows what's going on. Nobody knows what's happening. And you say, everything's okay, but on the inside, you know that you're failing. You know that you're being broken apart, and you have nobody to go to. But trust in God. Trust in God, and he'll bring you out. There's nobody better to lead than the one that God's appointed. I'm telling you folks tonight, young and old, God has a certainty, he has a destiny. God has a purpose, and God has anointing waiting on you. But you got to reach out and grab on to God and never let go. You got to reach out to God and never let go. See, Joseph, he woke up in the prison. He woke up in the worst part of his life. But then he went and laid his head to sleep, laying in the palace. God's promises are yea and amen. If God has promised you, it doesn't matter where you are in your life. If God has given you a promise, God is going to bring it to pass. It doesn't matter what you have to face. It doesn't matter what devil tries to get in your way. God's promises are yea and amen and will never turn void. God will never turn void. His word is true. Lean on the promise that God's given you, and he'll take you from that prison. He'll take you from that dark place. He'll take you from that jail cell. He'll take you from that broken place, and he'll bring you into the palace. He'll bring you and restore your life, restore that relationship. That promise that you've been bearing on your back can be restored. That thing that you've been dealing with for so many years can be restored. But trust in God. Have your faith and hope in God that he's going to bring you through, and that promise will come to pass. Leave your coat. Keep your integrity. Keep your eyes on God and your destiny that was placed on you. And what God has promised you from the beginning will come to pass. Joseph not only dreamed the dream, but he woke up and he brought it to pass. He saved Egypt. And in the process, through the anointing of God, he saved Israel. The word says, "For I know the plans I have for your life. Plans of good and not of evil." What you meant for my harm, devil. What you thought was going to do me dirty, devil. When you thought that promise that God gave me was ruined because it was dipped in the blood, sealed my covenant with God. And now I'm in a higher place, the highest place I've ever been in my life, in the palace. Second to death. What you meant for my harm, God has turned it around. Genesis 50 and 20 says, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto my good, to bring it to pass, as it is for this day, to save much people alive." All of Joseph's life, he had trouble. In every phase, every place of his life, Joseph dealt with trouble. Every phase of your life tonight, folks, you're going to deal with trouble. You're going to deal with this world. You're going to deal with people around you trying to tear you down. But God has given you a new coat. God has given you a new anointing. Stand with me, I'm done. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If the musician would come. There's someone in his house that was given a promise in the beginning. But you've been abused. You've been lied to. You've been thrown down in a pit. You've been sold for cheap. You've been falsely accused, left to rot. But you're ready for your next level of anointing. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This is total reverence under God. If that's you, if you're in your darkest place that you've ever been, but you're ready to see your next anointing, slip your hand up and back down. I just want to know who I'm praying for. Woo! Praise God. There's hands all over this house. Hands all over this house. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Thank you. God sees that. And I'm telling you tonight, God has a purpose for your life. God has a destiny for your life. And it all starts right here in these altars. It all starts right here in these altars. If you're in that place where you feel like you're in a prison and ready to see the palace, I want you tonight to come to these altars on three. I'm going to count to three, and I want everybody in this house, every soul in this house, to come to this altar, because I don't want you to block somebody in that desperately needs to meet with God, that desperately needs to meet with Jesus. So on three, every soul, one, two, three, come and make your way to these altars. Make your way to these altars tonight and say, "God, I'll give up whatever it takes, whatever I need to give up, God. Take me out of that dark, gruesome place to be in your perfect place."